Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
On this episode of the Heat Check, the playoffs are cooking. We're going to get into what's happening in Boston. We should not be surprised. They are quadruple ply Charmin soft. How the Sixers finally righted the ship, and maybe is Embiid kind of a cheap shot? The Nuggets are about to put the Lakers to night-night sleep mask. Got a lot to get into, Anthony, I'm sorry to say. Plan your trip to Cancun, Lakers. Drop that motherfucking beat. This should be Rihanna. All right. The NBA's first round playoffs just got weird. Yeah, it did. Got a little strange. I'm not talking about Orlando deciding that they're going to... You thought it was a beatdown when Cleveland was at home and they were beating the shit out of Orlando? Oh, no, let's try 40. We're going to drop 40-point absolute demolishment on you at the crib. I'm not talking about that, nor am I talking about the Mavs evening up their series at 1-1. I'm not talking about the Wolves going up on Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker to the point where Devin Booker might ask for a trade without even a good Anthony Davis game. Anthony Edwards game. The Celtics were the team that were minus 8,000 to win game two against the Miami Heat. Miami was 11-1 to win that game. Bad odds. Those were the odds. And you want to know a secret? The Celtics lost that game. Yes, they did. They lost it. I can't even believe it. The books must be devastated. And if you want a little insight into the future, Miami's going to do it again. I don't know if it's going to be three or four, but they're getting a game at the crib. They are getting a game at the crib. And if you don't think so, you're tripping. And Boston fans are just absolutely despondent. They are stunned. They're watching everything that they thought that they knew slip away again, just like it did the year before. And I think it's happened once before that as well. I think that was the bubble. They cannot believe that a team that is notorious for being a terrible three-point shooting team decided they were going to shoot the fucking lights out. And the crazy thing is, it was very clear that Miami was hot. And they were rolling. But Joe Mazzulla said, you know what? I'm going to continue sticking with the original game plan, fam, which is leave them wide open. That's the game. We're not changing it. We're living in the present. Doesn't matter that Miami has shot 60% from three against us before in the 2023 NBA playoffs and sent us packing home. They won't do it again. It's like death, taxes, and Miami can't keep doing this from three. I've said that more times than I've eaten Cheetos past midnight. I don't know what the fuck is going on over there. This is exactly what Miami did last year. People just keep doubting them, and yet they prove us wrong over and over and over again. Change the personnel. No Max Drews, no Gabe Vincent, no matter. Eric Spoelstra finds talent. Pat Riley finds talent, and they turn them into guys that can kill you if you leave them open for three. In game two, let's talk about the amount of threes because it's crazy. The Celtics defense gave up 23 wide open threes, somewhere between 6 feet and 10 feet away, the closest defender, and the Heat hit 15 of them. They gave 14 open shots from three, and the Heat made 8 of them. 37 open or wide open three-point shots. That's damn near disrespectful to anyone, fam. And the Heat hit 22 of those. They said, all right, we'll keep chucking, and we'll keep making. And they went up fast, and they did not slow down. There were a few three-point shots that were closely defended, that actually someone was in the neck of the woods near the closest three-point shooter for Miami. And Miami hit 20% of those, only 20%. That's the story of the game. That's the story of Joe Mazzulla's life. That's the story of why Joe Mazzulla will never succeed in this league. He will not change because he believes he's right. You remember when they thought there were weapons of mass destruction and in Iraq, and there weren't, and George W. Bush wouldn't pivot, even though it was very clear he was fucking wrong. He was like, no, we're gonna keep going down this path for a decade. No matter if the entire premise of what we were trying to do is fucked up and wrong and completely backwards, that new data never entered into his mind in terms of his war strategy. That's Joe Mazzulla. That is Joe Mazzulla. It's like, hey, Joe, they're hitting at 50% from three. We're going to keep leaving them open because they can't keep doing that. My God. All the way, let's go back to a year ago. You remember it? The Heat beat the Celtics in seven in a series where five Heat players shot 48% or better from three for the entire series. I don't know, Joe Mazzulla might have remembered that, but he's like, no, I only think about what's right in front of my face. I don't think about what happened in the past. Game four last year against the Sixers. Boston had two chances to win late both times. Joe chose to not use a timeout. At the end of the regulation, it resulted in a brick three by Marcus Smart in a tie game, and then OT with 4.5 seconds down a bucket, no timeout, and Smart didn't even get a shot off in time. 1 point L. By the way, in a game against the Heat in the next series, 2.3 seconds left last year, Spoelstra called a timeout, drew up a play for Jimmy Butler, he scored. Games go to the OT, Heat win, then they win the series 4-3. Oh no. Joe Mazzulla had this to say after that loss to the Sixers in 2023. He said, well, that was the play. We just had to play with a little more pace. We had the right matchup. We just had to play with a little more pace. Sir, I don't think that's true. That's his MO. He doesn't game plan. He doesn't make adjustments, just like he didn't defend the perimeter against the Heat last year and this year. And that is burning him every time. We got some insight into his mindset. The afternoon of game two, Joe was asked if he was bothered that the Celtics, the best regular season in the NBA this year by a mile, if he was upset that none of his players were up for any awards. And he says, no, not at all. I think it's beautiful. Why would you get an award for the past? Joe, pause. Every award is for the past. Everyone. every single accolade you ever win. Literally, your championship trophy, if you ever, which you will never win, by the way, the championship trophy that you aspire to, the Larry O, I have to tell you, oh, you motherfucker. I have to tell you, Joe, that Larry O is based on what you just did in the past. What can you even say to that? I don't even know what he's fucking talking about ever. By the way, also another aside. Did you see in a recent interview where Joe Mazzulla talked about how sick his fucking brain is and how he's never, like, don't just look it up. I'm not even going to get into it. Anyway, just like his timeouts, his game plans don't look backwards. Just like his mind frame, he will not look backwards. They do not take into account how other teams are constructed, how they game plan for you, what adjustments they make to you, and the coaching challenges, and what things work for them. Why do you even go over film? Why the fuck do you go over film if it doesn't matter how anything went in the past? What the fuck is Joe Mazzulla talking about? The more I think about what he said, the more insane it sounds. It's just so unorganized. It just has no accountability. All they do is play ISO when things get close. He has 4 All-Stars, so they are front runners. They win a lot. Kristaps Porzingis, where you at, dog? Jason Tatum, where you at, dog? Drew Holiday, where you at? Who else? Derek White, where you at? You know who's around? You know who's around in the playoffs? Jaylen Brown's around in the playoffs. Jaylen Brown be good in the playoffs. Anyway, they still lost. Anyway, there's a saying, live in the moment. But if you're living in the moment without any memory of what has happened before that particular moment, you're basically an infant. You're a baby. You've got no memories. You get bounced from the playoffs by the Miami Heat because there's an old saying from George Santayana that I think is apropos, I hope. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Yeah, that's Joe Mazzulla in a nutshell. Hey, this Heat team, Joe, they hit open threes, especially in the playoffs. You think they're just like not finding guys that can snipe from the corner when they attack the paint? And you pack that same paint? I don't know. Anyway, to help us make more sense of this series from the Heat perspective, I brought on friend of show Jonathan Zaslow from the Zaslow 2.0 podcast in Miami to break down the games from his perspective. Zaz joined my other show, BetMGM Tonight, which airs Monday through Friday, 7 to 11 on the radio in most major markets, as well as live on Twitch and YouTube. I'm joined by my co-hosts, Nick Ashew and Ryan Horvath. So let's get into it.
What we thought last night made no sense of the way the Heat beat the hell out of the Celtics. Bring on Jonathan Zaslow now, host of the Zaslow Show. I guess at this point we can just let you gloat if you'd like. If you're feeling good, you should feel
good.
Because Heat culture, no matter who's on that damn court, always seems to reign supreme, my friend.
If I had to, if the aliens came down to planet Earth and they were to ask me, can you tell me a little bit about Heat culture? I would take the VHS from last night. I still got a VCR. I would take the VHS from last night's game. I would sit down with the aliens on the couch in the Zaslow Mansion family room, and I'd say, this is why I love this team. This is what I'm about. Last night was amazing. So good. And tonight, by the way, I'm just coming off the Panthers going up 3 over the Lightning. This is a very good few days in a row here in South Florida. Very good.
What do we think about Boston as a whole? Because I think no matter who is playing for Miami, they're not afraid of Boston at all. And they actually think that they're the better team. And we're seeing, in my opinion, the chasm between Eric Spoelstra and pretty much almost every other coach in the Eastern Conference, at least, especially over Joe Mazzulla, just letting you guys have wide open threes like this didn't happen against them last year.
Yeah, I hate the idea of saying, like, Joe Mazzulla didn't make any adjustments, you know, at halftime. I wasn't in the halftime locker room, and for all I know, Joe Mazzulla did try and make adjustments. And you know what? Sometimes the players, they don't do a good job in carrying out those adjustments. That's certainly a possibility. But it really did look like the Celtics had a game plan, which was allowing them to shoot all these three-pointers, and they really never adjusted. I hate doing that, but I'm just telling you what my eyes saw. It doesn't look like they ever adjusted. And there was one play, it was like, I think it was 105-99 maybe. The Celtics cut the lead to 6. It was like 2.5 minutes left, and that was the moment. And they called timeout. They come out of the break where the Celtics get a stop All right, they can cut the lead to 3 or 4 points. And again, Caleb Martin, wide open three-pointer out of the timeout. He buries it. You're right, Trista. The Heat are not afraid of anyone, but they're especially not afraid of this Celtic team. And they really do go in with that mindset where, hey, you're professionals over there, we're professionals over here, and we're tough, we know what we're doing, we think we could play with anybody. And let's be honest here, the couple days before that, all the code red talk, you know, with my pal Brian Scalabrine, that Caleb Martin went out there and he purposely tried to hurt Jason Tatum, and they're booing Caleb Martin in the first quarter. You know when they stopped booing him? When he was training three-pointer after three-pointer. The Heat went into that TD Garden and they punked the Celtics. They punked them.
What do you think happens now? Like, how many games do you think the Heat can reasonably get? Like, can they actually win this series to you? Have you given up any belief?
They're totally in the series. Like, I mean, how could anyone at this point, you could still pick the Celtics, but how could anyone at this point say the Heat don't have a chance to win the series? They just went in there in game two. They played great the entire game and then really took over in the middle of the third quarter on. And now they got two games at home. And look, this Celtic team, yeah, they won 64 games. In games this, they were almost all blowouts. In games that were close and late, they were 3-10 this season, the Celtics. 3-10. And that's one of those deals where, you know, you got to use the regular season sometimes to prepare you for the postseason. And I don't know what winning every game by blowout prepares you for in the postseason.
I know you cover the Heat. If Boston doesn't get the job done this year, I just feel like they're soft. I mean, we saw the struggles at home in the playoffs the last couple years. What's next? Because they re-up Drew Holiday, even in his 30s. I don't think you're trading Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown. But, like, how many more years is it going to be where you have this awesome regular season record and then they fail in the playoffs? If they can't get the job done and they lose to Miami, which I can't believe I'm even saying, you know, like, what do you think they do next year? Just run it back with the same team just to get beat by the Heat again?
The Heat are 4-1 in Boston the last two postseasons.
That's
4-1. So again, like, not even remotely afraid of that Celtics team. I mean, look, what would the Celtics do going into next year? I have no idea, but I do know that I'm not afraid of Kristaps Porzingis. I mean, that was one of the things where coming into this series, all right, like, that's great that he had a good regular season. When in Kristaps Porzingis' career has he played in a big game? I mean, it wasn't in Washington. It wasn't in New York. Like, I'll wait forever for you to find the big game that Kristaps Porzingis performed in. Drew Holiday, he's still a really good defender, that's for sure. But he's not the player on the offensive end that he always was. And am I afraid of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown? Not even close. So as far as what Boston would do moving forward, Brad Stevens has proven he's not remotely afraid of making big moves. I mean, they just lost in the Eastern Conference Finals last year, and he essentially remade the team. So they're not afraid of blowing it up and making big moves. But, I mean, I'm not saying that people should be rooting for the Heat, because I totally get the things that are unlikable about the Heat to everybody else. But how could you not be rooting for the chaos that would ensue if the Celtics lose this series?
Agreed.
If we look at now the Heat with, you got Jimmy Butler, Terry Rozier hurt. Is there any chance either one of them comes back this series if it were to go like seven games, or probably not? No.
All right. Not Jimmy Butler. He is not returning this series. Mm-hmm. Terry Rozier, I think we're holding out a little bit of hope, but it's not like I could sit here and tell you, all right, he might come back this game or come back this game. It's like trying to extract information from the CIA if you want to get info out of the Miami Heat, all right? So I can't sit here and tell you I have any kind of clue when Terry Rozier would return, but that would be a major, major boost. They're not getting Butler back, but if they could just get Terry back, that would be pretty great.
Where do you put Jason Tatum in your player rankings? Because you look at him and what he's supposed to do, and then when the moment gets tense and the lights get bright, Zaz, it feels like he takes either ill-advised jumpers that are highly contested, just poor decision-making, or he doesn't demand the ball and he lets other players who are much worse than him have the ball in crucial moments.
Well, that's why we mentioned the soft term with the Celtics, right? It's all perimeter based. They win when they shoot the three and they make the three, and they're really good at that. but that's also a soft way of playing in the postseason. Like, you look at the Heat, and especially when it comes to Jimmy Butler, there is a physicality. We're going to go through you. We're trying to get to the basket. And I don't recall very many moments yesterday where Tatum, Brown are trying to go through the Heat and trying to get to the basket. They're a very Porzingis too. They're a very perimeter-oriented team. So Tatum's a really good player. I don't know that he's a number one that could win you a championship.
He's Miami through and through. Jonathan Zaslow, great to have you on, man.
You hope the Heat win because you're a great American. I mean, come on. What are we talking about here?
There you go. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Good stuff from Zaz. Let's move on. So, the Sixers. The Sixers were plus 375 to win the series against the Knicks after going down 2-0. And then they go to the crib and they hold serve. It was a fascinating game. They overcome a 10-point Knicks first half lead. They use a dominant third quarter to cruise home for a pretty easy 7-point win. Now the Knicks are only up 2-1. Exciting stuff for them. This goddamn cell phone. We talked last show about how crazy the ending of Game 2 was. But that it really, like, didn't show the whole story about how good Nick Nurse is and how good his defensive game plan has been, especially on Jalen Brunson. But tonight, he basically decided to let Jalen Brunson cook. He made an adjustment, and as much as possible, you can have as many open shots as you want and hope that he can shut down the rest of this Knicks team. And you know what? It fucking worked. Philly should probably be up 3-0 right now, or at least 2-1 if it wasn't for the bullshit referee calls in the final 30 seconds of games two. But here's Brunson's numbers so far. Really interesting. Brunson game one, 8 for 26, 1 for 6, 22 points. Brunson in game two, 8 for 29, 1 for 6 from 3, 24 points. And then, woohoo, switch it up. 13 for 27, Jalen, 3 for 7 from 3. They gave him a little space, 39 fucking points. However, the average of those three games is just 35% from the field. And he's shooting 27 shots per game. That is astounding. 26% from 3. If you're holding the team's number one option to those type of numbers, you're probably going to win more games than you lose. We thought Joel Embiid was dead a couple of times. Like, we thought the fall that he had off the backboard, his eye, that we now know that he has Bell's palsy from who knows what. Anyway, we thought he was done. Nope, he's not done. He's out there like a menace. What did he do in game three when he probably should not have even been playing due to his knee and his eye? 50 fucking points. My God. He also tried to end Mitchell Robinson's career by pulling out his legs while he was lying on the ground. Very dirty play. Probably should have been ejected. Anyway, I've got news. I am going to game five to the Garden. I will have a first-hand report, sights and sounds. As for now, series I think is going to the distance. Let it go seven. I can just feel it in my bones, and I want it. Moving on. Finally, the last time that we checked in on the LA Lakers, they had their soul snatched by Jamal Murray on a last-second shot. Since then, it's been nothing but bad vibes for the Lakers and their camp. AD came out after the game and said, hey, we're lost sometimes on the court. It's not good. And then Darvin Ham was like, actually, we're quite organized on the court, and we agree to disagree. Then apparently there was some sort of private meeting between AD and Darvin Ham. Who knows what was said? Then new reporting came out saying that a lot of the teammates on the Lakers thought that AD's comments were bullshit and they were disappointed and offended by them. All of that sounds like closer to them being a mess than a Will machine. I'm not going to lie to you. We'll get into this more when the series is over, but tonight, more of the same. Lakers, double-digit first quarter lead. Took a 4-point lead into half. Then the Nuggets came out in the third quarter. They went 10 of 12 to start the third quarter. And then all of a sudden it is night sleep mask. Oh boy. Final score, 112-105. What do you do when your soul has been taken from you on multiple occasions and in multiple years and you've lost 11 straight to the same team that happens to be the defending champs? You try your best to fight the good fight. You tell yourself all kinds of positive things. You eat a steak. and then you figure out a way to get up and tell yourself you can win that game despite the fact that you know that you cannot. Darvin Ham, I'm sure he'll have something good to say tomorrow that none of us will believe. The only player I think that believes that he can win this series still is LeBron James. Everybody else, they know what time it is. Get your bags packed. Tell your girl, get her bathing suits ready, because you're going to Cancun. That's all the time that we have for this episode of the Heat Check. Come back Monday for an all-new episode as the first round of the playoffs progress. Check out the feed for past episodes and mini-episodes, which drop unexpectedly, like that fall-away jump shot from Jamal Murray with no time left. Do not forget to follow the Heat Check as we head into the playoffs. That means download, that means subscribe, that means tell your friends. Even the GM of the Atlanta Falcons tell him, hey, why are you drafting Michael Penix Jr. to go 30 slots early when you gave $180 million to Kirk Cousins? Like, because that doesn't make any sense. Also, listen to the Heat Check with Trista Crick. When they run you out of town and you're at the unemployment line, you need something to listen to that's free. Don't forget to follow us on, because you ain't got no money. Don't forget to follow us at this Heat Check and at Trista Crick on TikTok, Twitter, and IG. And up very soon, YouTube.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.